The kids reminded us really well that one of the unique elements of the Christian faith is that it is grounded in history. It's rooted in history. And as we open up our Bibles, we find this reality to be true, that there are genealogies, there's names, place names, people groups, nations, tribes, ancient histories mentioned in Scripture. And the faith itself is based in God's action in history on behalf of people. And in fact, to the point that the Apostle Paul, writing to a church in Corinth, said that if Jesus has not been raised from the dead in history, if he's not been raised up, then your faith is futile. You know, it's just, we don't even have a sturdy faith if God did not act in history. So our faith is grounded in history, and it is personal history. It's family history. Now, it seems to be that there's been this renewed interest in finding out more about our personal family histories. I don't know if you've also seen these ads for things like these products, these family history genealogies like 23andMe. From what I understand, I haven't done this yet, but the way that these things work is you pay about $100 and you spit in a cup, or you take like a swab in your inside of your mouth, and you mail to this company your genetic material in this way, and they do some pulling it apart, your DNA, and then tell you about where your family comes from. And it can be pretty fascinating, actually. Sometimes it's, you know, maybe not so surprising, but other times it's quite surprising. You know, perhaps if your family originates in Africa and you find out, wow, you have some ancestors that come from Spain, and suddenly you feel like a connection there with Spain, with a country, with its culture, because it ends up being your culture. There's a television show also that's been pretty popular. I've caught a few episodes of it. It's on PBS, called Finding Your Roots, and it's really all about this, finding out who you are, your ancestry. And the host of the show is Harvard historian Henry Louis Gates, and he interviews these famous figures like musicians and actors and media figures. And they go through their family history. They're given this book of life, which they open up, and they find these connections there, sometimes some pretty amazing connections. And in every episode that I've ever watched, when people are introduced to their family history, they're in some ways just emotionally overcome by this. It's very affecting for those that go through this experience. This past week, I just happened to flip through some of the television stations and came across this show in just a few moments of it. And the person featured on the show, he opened up his book of life and saw this image, this depiction of his great-great-great-grandfather. And he said this. He said, "Those are my eyes. I just have to keep looking. This has all come full circle." He was just so overcome by this experience of understanding his family history. Well, the Scripture, the Bible, is our book of life. It's a book of life that gives us a family story. And the thing about family stories is that family stories are both beautiful and marvelous, but also messy as well. And when you dig into your family history and think about family, they're broken and beautiful. Families are established, they flourish, they can become pillars of communities, and you know, whole tribes and nations grow out of them, and yet families are also toppled by tragedy. And we hear this in the Scripture, that is the Scripture that's what the children's program is based on, the Scripture that Aiden just read for us so well. We hear this pain actually in there, the pain of a family tree that's mentioned, but it's mentioned as a stump. It's called the stump of Jesse. And so in that description, we hear that there's this great family tree that includes this incredible kingdom of David and Solomon, and yet it's been reduced, it's decayed, it's been hacked back to just a stump. Back to David's father, Jesse, who was only a simple sheep herder from the little town of Bethlehem. There have been a number of towns in the U.S. that have gotten the nickname Stump Town. One of these towns is actually the city of Portland, Oregon. Actually, I guess at one point was called Stump Town, and it was because in its history, the town grew really fast, and so they clear cut a whole bunch of trees, some large trees, probably up there, probably like big Douglas firs. And I guess according to the story, during the rainy seasons, heavy rains, the storms, in some areas of Portland years and years ago, people would hop from stump to stump not to have to walk through the mud, like hop like a frog on a lily pad. People usually don't go to places like that to go visit and experience Stump Town, you know. People don't, you don't go, hey, let's go look at a big field of stumps. Kids might want to play on a place like that, right? But people usually don't go and you know, admire the beautiful scenery of a stump town. That's a place that's been devoid of life. Where there once was these great amazing canopies and wildlife and beautiful trails to walk through underneath the canopy, but now it's reduced to basically lifeless stumps. Well, Isaiah calls his own people this. He calls them a stump. His own family tree is a stump, a place of life that has been decayed and been cut down. And the more I read the Bible, the more I'm amazed by this, that in the scripture, the Bible, it doesn't sugarcoat the nasty bits of the family history of the people. If you read other historical accounts of other nations, sometimes these accounts, they're about the, especially the royal families, they're very glorious. Like this king did all these mighty acts and he was amazing and, you know, could shoot lasers out of his eyes, not like that. But that kind of an idea, all of this, you know, pomp and circumstance, and yet we read scripture, we read the story of this little people, Israel, and it's just wide open. The dirty laundry is aired amongst this people. There are, you know, the Bible records terrible corruption, deceit, adultery, murder among the bad guys and among the good guys. And what the Bible doesn't do is give us propaganda. The Bible gives us a story that I think we can recognize as true to our own all too human families, our own struggle, broken relationships, lies, foolishness, suffering, and plain old sin that affect us. And yet, the wonderful thing that we hear in the Bible, in the scripture passage, is that through the tragedy, God continues to be faithful. And he continues to be faithful. He is faithful to the human family, and he does this through this little special family that he calls the family of Israel, that stump family, even at this moment in the moment in history that Isaiah is prophesying to. Though this people were pruned back to almost nothing, the Lord promises that a shoot will grow out of the old stock into a branch, and a branch bearing fruit. The family tree would continue. The family tree would even flourish. In fact, in verse 10, Isaiah speaks of the root of Jesse standing as a banner, a signal who draws the nations to himself. And that is a depiction of Israel's calling as a nation to be this light, to be this tree for the nations to settle in, this place of life. And God through the prophet says this is going to continue and happen. The nations will be drawn in. Verses 2 through 9 go on to speak of this as a person. There's a personification, a person rising from the roots of Jesse. And then it goes on also to speak of the quality of life that comes through him, is associated with this person. We see that this person is guided by the Spirit of God, rules with justice, and through him comes a degree of peace and safety that is depicted in this stunning depiction of a wolf lying down with a lamb. Many paintings, peaceable kingdom, have been drawn of this. The wolf lying down to the lamb, even an infant child putting his hand in the den of a venomous snake and not being bitten by that kind of freaks me out, because I hate snakes, I hate venomous, it just kind of gives me the willies. But it's just such a stark image of security, of enemies settling down together, of of the gentling, the pacification of those that hurt and destroy the weak. And so, in other words, this person coming through the chute is the answer to the people's longing, and I think probably all of our longings for knowledge and wisdom filled by the Spirit of God, a leader who leads with this, and not just based on human ambition. This person, the chute, is the answer to our longing for a ruler who lifts up the meek of the world and rules with justice and with righteousness, with faithfulness. The answer to our longing for security, for safety, for real, true, deep peace. And so Isaiah prophesies about the coming of this one, this coming king who the people called the Messiah, you know, that special anointed one through the prophets, the one to come. And the apostles declared to the world this gospel message, the good news. They made an announcement that the king has come. He's come. This one promised has come. And his name is Jesus. He's the Christ, you know, the Messiah, the anointed one. And we opened up our worship this morning already with the words of Zechariah, who declared the same thing. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and he has redeemed his people. This time of year, we sing a lot of hymns, Advent hymns, Christmas carols, and there's this ancient nativity hymn that I came across this week with this line, by the fruit of the root, he will graft us into his tree. When Jesus entered into the world, he entered into our family history, and he entered into our broken family history. And Jesus entered into the marvelous mess of the human family in order to redeem it, in order to transform it, in order to lead us out of darkness and into light, into the light of God's wisdom, justice, and peace, into his family. And the Heidelberg Catechism, Reformation Catechism, puts it so beautifully in this question and answer. It asks, why is he, Jesus, called God's only begotten Son when we are also called God's children? And the answer is because Christ alone is the eternal, natural Son of God. We, however, are adopted children of God, adopted by grace through Christ. We're brought in to this family and to a history that's redeemed and renewed. And so Jesus has entered into our broken history to bring us into his story. And like that man on the PBS show, Finding Your Roots, through Christ Jesus, we are given, in a sense, that book of life, and we open it up and we find our place in it. This is our history as well. We see that we have an eternal identity. We have this deep roots. We're rooted into the story. We are that this Jesse's tree that the kids reminded us of so well is now our story through him. We read this as our story as well because of Jesus. Now, families are wonderful, funny, have all of their own dynamics. Last few years, in my own family, when I've returned and made visits with my family, especially to see my grandma, my one living grandma, my grandma always makes this interesting comment about how I look just like her late husband, my grandfather. I guess like when my grandpa was my age, that we had a lot of resemblance between the two of us. And it's just a little bit strange when your grandmother like remembers her late husband through you and through through your face, right? Like, you look just like Art, you know, did you so. But it's also an honor. It's an honor because my grandpa was a good man, and to resemble him facially is an honor, but, you know, I hope that I could resemble him in character because he was a man of great integrity and faith and character. Jesus entered into our human family, and Jesus has our DNA. He looks like us. He has flesh and blood. He has flesh and blood, ascended to heaven in our flesh and blood. He is our incarnate Lord and Savior. And through him, because of this, through this act of redemption, we are adopted into the family of God, and this means that we bear his resemblance as we're joined to him in faith. We're born again. We're a new creation. You know, whoever's in Christ, there is a new creation. We are graced to look like him in character. And this is what it means to be a Christian. It means to be bound into the story, his redemption story. Joined to him, we share in the family resemblance and continue to grow in that family resemblance through the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for your amazing family story that we get to remember and celebrate through our kids this morning, through the Word of Scripture. Lord, thank you in Jesus Christ that you have grafted us into your family. And Lord, may we grow more and more in likeness to our Lord and our brother, Jesus. And we pray this in his name. Amen.